side. He said, they speak of crowns, but I have himself. And so we've been looking at that subject these past few days, himself. First message was concerning himself, listening to him. Whatsoever he said unto you, do it, said the mother of the Lord Jesus at Cana of Galilee. The second message was knowing him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The subject tonight is loving him. Shall we turn, please, to the book of the Song of Solomon? It was gratifying in the prayer meeting that our brother George mentioned it in his prayer, the opening verses of the book of the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, on reading verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Over, please, to chapter 3. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was with a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go, until I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Once again, the Lord will bless to us these priceless readings from his precious love, precious word. Loving him. When we think of his love, we are overwhelmed. We sometimes sing like shoreless seas, thy love, it knows no bounds. Thou lovest me. Deep, vast, immense, unfathomed, Lord profound, Lord, I love thee. And when above my crown is at thy feet, I'll praise thee still for Calvary's mercy seat. His love for us. For we must confess that our joy is sometimes low, our love is sometimes low, our joy it ebbs and flows, but peace with him remains the same, no change, Jehovah knows. In the Song of Solomon, 24 times, the Shulamite refers to a shepherd lover in the language of my beloved, but 5 times she uses a more endearing term or phraseology, him whom my soul loveth. 5 times. In chapter 1, it is love's desire. In chapter 3, in verse 1, it's love's disappointment. In verse 2, it is love's determination. In verse 3, it is love's description. And finally, in verse 4, it is love's delight. In the opening verses, he says, let him kiss me, verse 2, with the kisses of his mouth. In verse 4, she says, draw me, we will run after thee. And in verse 7, she says, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Kiss me, draw me, tell me. Kiss me, divine affection. Draw me, divine attraction. Tell me, divine affirmation. The kiss. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Him, the shepherd. Me, the sheep. Him the sovereign, me the subject, him the saviour, me the sinner. The kiss is the ultimate expression. You remember when Judas entered into the garden, he kissed the cheek of the Son of God, sold his master for 30 pieces of silver. It was a very ultimate expression of hatred for the Son of God. And Judas chose to go to hell. We read that Judas, by transgression, went to his own place, the kiss of infamy. But in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, we have a kiss of reconciliation. From the far country, the prodigal came to an end of himself, returned home. I will return to my father. The father saw his boy returning, ran to welcome him, threw his arms around him and smothered him with kisses. A kiss of reconciliation. It's my delight on many occasions to go down to the Bowery in New York City to preach to the derelicts of society in the Water Street, Macaulay Mission. On one occasion, the great Fanny Crosby went to the Bowery. That blind lady, that great singer, songster, poet from Bridgeport, Connecticut. She met the men in that mission, but she asked on one occasion, is there perchance a boy here? And the superintendent said, yes, there's a boy here. And she put her arms around that boy and she kissed him and then she left. She went back to Bridgeport, Connecticut, took out her pen, and she wrote that hymn, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o' the erring ones, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, mighty to save. Years later, D.L. Moody was conducting a gospel crusade, and Sankey was his songster, and he was going to sing that night, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. And he told about Fanny Crosby and the boy in the mission in the Bowery in New York City, and he sang his number. When the meeting was over, a tall, distinguished gentleman came up to Mr. Moody. He said, I was a boy that Fanny Crosby kissed, and that led to a greater kiss when God kissed me a prodigal and brought me into the family of God, the kiss of reconciliation. And dear Paul, you remember when he took farewell of the elders of the church of Ephesus, when he said that they would see him no more, they fell on his neck and they kissed him, the kiss of affection. My beloved friends, no one ever showed affection like the Lord Jesus. We have read this morning, he took upon himself the form of a bond slave and was made in the likeness of men. As God's true Hebrew servant, he plainly said, I love my master. He plainly said, I love my wife. He plainly said, I love my children, and I will not go out free. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Could we with ink the ocean fill? Or were the skies of parchment made, where every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above, drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. God commended his love toward us in the person of the Lord Jesus. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Kisses draw me. Divine affection, divine attraction. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, said the psalmist, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And then kisses tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, while thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, so why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? She desires to be with him, the shepherd, to be with the flock, the Lord's people, to be occupied with the food that he would provide, and the rest that is available to those who follow the shepherd. We thank God tonight for the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd. He's the great shepherd in Hebrews 13 and the God of peace that brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep. And he is the chief shepherd. And very soon he'll come as the chief shepherd to reward the under shepherds for the faithful service for him in his absence. And surely that should draw out our affections to him tonight to know that he was the good shepherd that died. That he is the great shepherd ever living to make intercession for us. And that he'll return as the chief shepherd to take us to be forever with himself. She desires to be with him. Why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? She desires no other occupation than to be alone with him. And he feeds us for the finest of the wheat. And as a good shepherd, he takes us into these areas of tranquility and rest, as we find in the 23rd Psalm. Love's desire to be close to the person of the Lord Jesus. But in verse 1 of chapter 3, it's love's disappointment. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus can be easily broken. Our standing in Christ is eternal. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. But fellowship can be broken, it can be marred because of the intrusion of sin and self-occupation. And that was a problem here. Love's disappointment. I sought him, but I could not find him. Beloved saints of God, you will never find the Lord Jesus Christ on a bed of ease. Comfort and communion are absolutely incompatible. Fellowship with Christ demands self-denial. And the Lord Jesus Christ laid the foundation, and he gives a threefold requirement for fellowship and companionship with himself. That's found, remember, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Self-denial. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Self-denial. Things that please me must go. Not I, but Christ. John the Baptist was the preparatory messenger of him who was the preeminent messenger. A man specially furnished with the Spirit of God to do a work to announce the coming of the Messiah. Linked together in Isaiah chapter 40, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. God brings them together in the book of Malachi chapter 3. The two messengers, the preparatory messenger and the preeminent messenger. And he would announce the coming of the one to the sanctuary, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember when the Lord walked the banks of Jordan, this great servant of the Lord, because the Lord said of men born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He was great in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. And he said, I'm only a voice. He must increase, and I must decrease. And so the content of our study this morning was very, very practical. Again, we must think little of ourselves and think much of the Lord Jesus Christ. Self-denial. And bearing the cross, not his cross, but our cross. The problems that arise from day to day. Our cross. We must bear them in the spirit in which they are given. For our edification, for our instruction, and to draw us closer to the person of Christ. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Be assured, my friend, that the pilgrim pathway is a difficult pathway. It's not an easy course. But with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. And, he says, and follow me. The path of obedience will always keep us in fellowship and in harmony with the Lord Jesus. It's the must life. And remember again, he's always our great exemplar. He said as a boy of 12 years of age, I must be about my Father's business. You and I should concentrate to serve him, the living and the true God, to give it all we've got, for time is running out, for service for the Master, for his coming is very near. And his example, the Father's business, and also he was one who was always helping others. We were talking this morning about others. He pleased not himself. He was always interested in others. He comes to seek as well, and he wins a soul for himself. He goes to the pool of Bethesda. There's a man despondent, discouraged, 30 years by the pool of Bethesda. And the love of the Lord Jesus Christ was shown in practical manifestation. The scripture says he knew that he was there all those years. He was there before the Savior was born. 30 years. You see, he is the omniscient one. He knows everything. And he said to the man, wilt thou be made whole? He said, I have no man to help. But there was one who could help. The Lord Jesus. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And we could go on and on and on. He was always helping others. And the Lord says in Mark's Gospel, the man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, suffered many things. And likewise, in the service of the Lord Jesus, we will suffer many things in the service of the Master. Love's disappointment. You cannot find him on a bed of ease. In that great battle in the book of Judges chapter 5, there was a people of Israel at ease. And God raised a woman called Deborah to challenge the nation as regards their faithfulness to God. And you remember she came in and she pinpointed the ease with which Reuben was enjoying. She says of Reuben, there was great resolutions of heart, great impressions. She says, why did you remain in the sheepfold and the battle was raging out there? And she turns to Gilead, who abode beyond Jordan. Their argument was natural obstacles. They were so far away from the battle that they could not call upon them for support. And then she turns to Dan. Oh, you were busy with your commercial transactions. Why did you remain in ships? Overwhelmed with mundane things when the battle of the Lord was raging. And then she challenges Asher. Asher remained by the seashore, enjoying the sun and the sea and the sand. And the battle was raging. The people of God fighting the enemies of God. And there was the faithful ones, the shock troops. Jael and others fighting the battle of the Lord. And these men and women in ease failing to support them in the battle. And our final challenge was to a place called Meroz, which means built of cedar. And there they were, right in the middle of the battlefield area, in houses of cedar, taking it easy, where the others, the shock troops, were living in tents. Paul challenges you and me to get off our bed of ease. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The battle is raging, and we need shock troops today to face the enemy, who goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You won't find him in the city with its false security. He says, I sought him. But you won't find Christ in the city, in the world, with its false security. But you will find Christ outside the camp with faithful saints. Unto thee, the homeless stranger, outside the camp. Forth we hasten, fear no danger, outside the camp. Thy reproach far greater than all Egypt's boasted pleasure, drawn by love that knows no measure outside the camp. You won't find him in the halls of pleasure. That is the God of the age in which we live. Pleasure. Moses was prepared to fight the battle. He was enjoying the luxury of Egypt, that ancient dynasty, educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. General Isimo of the Egyptian army, he had everything going for him, to use common terminology, in the land of Egypt. But when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And Satan dangles these tinsel toys of pleasure before God's people, and many are lying on a bed of ease. You won't find him in the godless halls of learning. We were talking around the table this morning about the present day philosophy, self-esteem. How can we ever talk about self-esteem? Robert Schuller said not too long ago, I read the quotation, that Christ died upon the cross to enhance his self-esteem. He died upon the cross to elevate our self-esteem. And a man is in hell when he has lost his self-esteem. My friend, a man's in hell when he rejects the Lord Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a bond slave and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How can we ever raise our head in pride when our Savior, the only man who ever had a reputation, it says in Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation. He said, I'm a worm and no man. You won't find him in the godless halls of learning, but you will find him in grateful hearts of love. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. You won't find him in the cathedrals of humanistic philosophy, but you'll find him in the courts of heavenly praise, Where there is two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Love's disappointment. She was in the wrong place to keep the fellowship and the harmony sweet between her and the shepherd lover. But thank God for love's determination. Notice there three things she says in verse 2. I will rise now. I will go about the city in the streets. And she says, and I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Threefold determination, love's determination. I will rise now. No hesitation whatever. She made the decision to get right back into fellowship with her lover. I will go into the city where sympathy is unknown. And I will seek him. But her zeal was unsuccessful. She was looking for him in the wrong place. But love will always persist. Always rewarding when we persist to seek fellowship with him whom our souls love. In verse 3 of the same chapter, love's description. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth. When we are out of touch with the Master, we lose many an opportunity to speak about him. Our language becomes vague, and we miss the golden opportunity to witness for him to those with whom we associate. But once that harmony and fellowship is restored, language seems to come out in an overwhelming way to attract others to the Lord Jesus Christ, buying up every opportunity to speak about the Master. I used to love to come back during World War II and walk the streets of Edinburgh with an old brother who was a godly man and a very, very wise elder. During the days of the Churchill-Clement Attlee confrontation in the British Isles at the polls, man was running down the street and he says to my friend, he says, Willie, he says, have you been down to the polling booth to put your man in? He says, friend, my man is in. And his seat is uncontested. Men who had the pulse for divine things and bought up every opportunity to speak well about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, she learned her lesson, and the fellowship has been restored, and she brings out language that's unparalleled in the book of the Song of Solomon. She meets the daughters of Jerusalem. She says to the daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love or lovesick. They say to her, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so chariot? And she says with that priceless description, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fit for set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices as sweet flowers. His lips are like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a pearl. His inwards is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphire. His countenance, or his David translation pushes, his bearing is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. He is altogether lovely. And the result was that fellowship having been restored, and she described her lover in such rich terminology, it had a far-reaching effect upon the daughters of Jerusalem. They said, whither is thy beloved gone, that we may seek him with thee? And if you and I keep in fellowship with the Lord Jesus, in harmony with him, and speak well of him, others will be attracted to the Lord. Whither is thy beloved gone,
that we may seek him with thee. Restoration is a priceless thing in the sight of the Lord. Dear Peter was in a bed of ease. There he was at the world's fire. And ultimately, because he was there, out of touch with his master, he denied him with oaths and curses. Peter, the man who spoke so well of him at Caesarea Philippi, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, I don't know him. But the man who had the eyes as the eyes of a dove, the tender one, he looked at Peter, and Peter went out and he wept bitterly. And the first exercise of the Lord Jesus was for the restoration of Peter. In resurrection, it wasn't to bring forth a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. His first priority was not to speak about the coming of the Holy Spirit. His first priority was for the restoration of Peter. He appeared unto Cephas. And you remember in the dialogue, lovest thou me more than these? And there was the interchange of words. Do you really love me, Peter? Peter says, Lord, I'm fond of you. Lovest thou me more than these? Second, you know I'm fond of you, Lord. Then the Lord changed the word around. And he says, Peter, are you really fond of me? And Peter says, you know the Lord's word. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And the restoration was complete. And he rose at Pentecost, and he spoke well of his master. 3,000 souls were brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Now you and I would never have selected Peter at the day of Pentecost. A miserable failure. But though he is a God that forgives and forgets, and the restoration was complete. And God says, the Lord says, you're my man, Peter. And thank God we read, and the other disciples stood up with him. Give it all you've got. And we thank God tonight for a God of restoration. Brother Boyd Nicholson and I were having meetings in a certain place, and God moved and souls were being saved. This one dear gentleman kept coming out night after night, and we knew he was a Christian, but he was out of fellowship with his brethren. So we said to him as he went out one night, Bill, the meetings will be complete if we find you back in fellowship in the assembly. He said, yes. And so next morning we went to visit him, and tears flowed like Niagara as he poured out his soul to the Lord. And we went back to our host and told him, who was one of the elders, that he desired to meet with the brethren that night, and we were invited in to that meeting. And we prayed one by one, and it was a moving meeting, and he prayed. Following Lord's Day, he was brought back into fellowship. At the worship meeting, we went over, we put our arms around him. He wept, and we went. And he says, 40 wasted years. 40 wasted years. The Lord help us to keep in harmony and in fellowship with himself. Love the scripture. Let us speak well of the Lord Jesus. Finally, love's delight. She persisted in her search. And finally, she found him. I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him. I brought him into her mother's house. She found him. What a memorable day that was when the women at the sepulchre found him. When he intercepted them and said, all hail, they held him by the feet and they worshipped him. They found him. Andrew went to his brother Peter. You remember as he walked the banks of Jordan, the Lord Jesus, in solitary grandeur and dignity. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Two of John's disciples left him that day, John and Andrew. "Master, where dwellest thou?" He says, "Come and see." And they spent that night with Christ on the hills of Judea, and they were never the same again. The first action by Andrew was to go home and to speak well of his master. And he says to Peter, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah." What did they find? They found one who was absolutely unique. They found one who was perfect as to his character and conduct. They found one who was precious as to decision and destiny. That day Peter fell in love with the Lord Jesus. And he found him to be precious. And that was a common word in his vocabulary as he wrote his two epistles. Everything about him was precious. "We are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus." Precious blood. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is the preciousness." The Lord Jesus Christ was precious in life, precious in death, and precious in resurrection to Peter, and he is to the people of God. So he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who hath begotten us again by a lively hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So as I close, fellowship with the Lord Jesus is ever a special delight. And it can be accomplished day by day if we abide in him. That is the secret of productivity and fruit in the life of the Christian. He's the true vine, and if we abide in him, we will bring forth fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And the secret of fellowship with the Lord, not only abiding in him, but walking with him. Peter says he set before us a perfect example if we follow in his steps. If we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. If we do his sweet will and abide with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Abiding in him, walking in him, with him, and depending upon him for daily strength. That's why we'll find in chapter 4 of the Epistle to the Philippians, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Weymouth's translation says, "I can do all things through Christ who keeps on pouring his strength into me." Strength. And finally, by dwelling in his presence. An attitude of prayer. Studying the word of God will help us maintain fellowship and harmony with the Lord Jesus. And will show by our actions that we really love him. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." What a Savior is our Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee again that we love him because he first loved us. We bless thee, O Father, he loved the unlovable when he loved us. But we can truly say tonight of him that he is the altogether lovely one. Help us to maintain fellowship with him, and also, Father, to be pliable in his hand and be useful servants in these difficult days in which we live.
we cry unto thee again in the language of the psalmist, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. We return thanks again for thy kindness. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Shall we sing in closing? Hymn number 85. O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness, his mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. 85.